If you have your Bibles this morning, find two passages of Scripture, if you would. I won't turn you everywhere, but I'd like you to find Psalm 122, and I'd like you to find, if you would, Acts chapter 2. Psalm 122 is located in the Old Testament. Acts chapter 2 will be located in the New Testament. If you not have a Bible, there should be a Bible in the pew in front of you. Feel free to pick it up and to use it. I will not finish the message tonight, or this morning. I will finish it tonight. I have 9 points, and there's no way I'm going to get all 9 of these in this morning, but I'll save a few of them for tonight. I was so blessed by last Sunday evening. If you were able to make it to our service last Sunday night, we had a picnic on the grounds, and man, we had a great crowd, and many of the folks came back, and it was just a wonderful delight to be able to be together as we were halfway through and the Memorial Day weekend and moving into Monday. And I remember finding a moment or two by myself last Sunday night, which normally is not, it doesn't happen too often when we get to one of those kind of things. And you guys had finished eating. Well, I'm not sure some of you ever finished eating, but most of us had finished eating. And we were outside and we were playing the games and the kids were jumping on the bounce houses. And I just happened to step back by the tree and started looking around. And I don't know if you've ever had one of those moments where in the middle of the moment, you're able to stop and just kind of get a good perspective of what's happening around you. And I was able to do that last Sunday night. And I started looking and I saw a body of believers just enjoying being together. I saw us enjoying being part of our church. And there was such a sweet spirit and of love and unity and such a peaceful time and a joyful time and a happy time. And I thought at that moment, man, I would not want to be any other place than where I am right now. As far as I'm concerned, I love being with my church family. If you love being with your church family, say amen. 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 And I've been just dominated by that thought, and I've been dominated with a verse that I found in Psalms 122, verse number 1. And I've been reading this and thinking about it, and God just smote me on my heart and wants me to preach today a message entitled, Glad to Go to Church. Glad to Go to Church. And I want to preach a little bit to you today about the importance of church in your life and what we get from church and the blessing of church. The psalmist said in Psalm 122, verse number 1, I was, say it class, glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Now, the house of the Lord in the Old Testament is either the tabernacle or the temple. We find and we know that today the temple of God is the human body. When a person gets saved, the Spirit of God indwells your body, and your physical body becomes a habitation of God. Our bodies become the temple of the living God. But we're told in 1 Timothy chapter 3 that the church, the house of God, the church is the pillar and ground of truth. So in one way, yes, you as a human, you as a believer, your body is the temple of the living God, and we are part of the church, but there is a house, a brick and mortar that houses the church. The brick and mortar isn't the church. We are the church. But we have a beautiful house that we are able to meet in. And I found that when I look at Psalm 122 and I compare it to Acts chapter 2, the same word kept popping up. The psalmist said, I was glad. If you go to Acts chapter 2, and you can go there now, you will find in verses 41 and also in verse number 46, the word glad or gladness. 9 times in the book of Acts, which is the book where we find the church beginning and empowered and exploding and going forward, 9 times you will find the word glad. The word glad means exuberant joy. Exuberant joy. So David said, I have exuberant joy. I am glad to go to the house of God. When I come over here to Acts chapter 2, the church had exuberant joy, gladness to go to church. I don't know about you, but I'm glad when I get to come to church. If you're glad, say amen. I was sad that I stayed up late last night to watch the Miami Heat. That was a sad, sickening scene that happened there. But I was glad when I woke up this morning. I had a hard time going to church. Or not church, to sleep. I didn't have a hard time going to church. I had a hard time going to sleep. I got nerved up. And it took me a while to calm down. And so I got into bed and, man, I just couldn't get comfortable. And finally I got up, went and got a drink of water. Beverly said, "What's wrong with you?" I'm just nerved up. I got to calm down before I can go to sleep. I went to sleep sad, but I woke up glad that I could come to church. I want to preach today about glad to go to church. I find in the book of Hebrews, chapter 10, verse number 25, that the Bible instructs us as believers that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but so much more as we see the day approaching. The writer of Hebrews was looking at the church and he saw people they stopped coming to church for whatever reason. Some of it was persecution. Some of it was I'm sure all of the excuses and reasons that we have today. But the writer said, now, as you see the day, that great day, the day of the Lord, that judgment day, that day when we shall be caught up to heaven, when you see that day approaching, you're going to need to come to church more often. The more you see the day approaching, assemble together. I think we've kind of got it backwards now. We have a culturalistic mindset that says, well, we only need church, you know, one time a week or a couple times a month. And we see the culture moving a direction there. And I'm afraid that it's kind of getting into our church mindset. But the Bible says when the church doors are open, we should be there. I knew I was going to have to do that. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. Amen. Okay, good. I'm glad I heard that. I'm glad I heard. Now, I will be humorous today. It's kind of a light message. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I get to go to church. You know, I don't know about you, but I don't ever schedule anything during church. Well, Pastor, you're the preacher. You have to go to church. Well, I don't necessarily know that I have to. I thought about one day just not showing up. I did. I thought, what would they do if I just didn't show up and I didn't call and I didn't tell anybody and I just didn't show up? Pastor, why would you do that? Because you do that. Not these poor folks. They won't do this next week, I guarantee you. But every week we have like this in-service schedule, and we have front door greeters, and we have nursery folks, we have this. And you know that we put their name in the bulletin the week before they're to serve, and lo and behold, I show up that day, and they just don't show up. Or they've scheduled to, they committed to sing in the choir and they just don't show up. Or you're in the nursery and you just didn't show up. Or you're supposed to teach and I got all these kids coming and the teacher just doesn't show up. Don't call, don't do it. I thought, you know, what if I just don't show up one day? You got that point, right? Say amen if you get the point. Okay, good. Good. You know, if you commit to do something, you ought to do it. Pastor, I don't ever schedule a brunch Sunday morning at 10:30. I don't ever schedule something Sunday night. And I don't ever schedule something Wednesday night. Why? Because I'm going to church. Now, I know that sometimes life happens. I know you got to work. I know sometimes your family comes in. I know sometimes you need a break. I know sometimes you got to go to Disney World, which is to me is I'd rather be at church. I know sometimes things happen. But the consistent pattern of a believer's life is, according to the Bible, when the church doors are open, we're to be there. But I find people just say, well, you know what? We're going to have a barbecue Sunday night at 5 o'clock. Wait a minute. Our church is open Sunday night. You're going to go to the barbecue and say, yeah. Now, once in a while, you can go and enjoy that barbecue. I hope you have a great time. Don't choke. Lord, help me. Should have been in church. I understand. I'm not trying to be crazy about it. But in your mind, you ought to not schedule anything when the church doors are open. We should be glad we get to go to church. But I don't know. Maybe I'm just, people don't live like that anymore. So I know you got to work. I know you got to do some things. I know. I'm not saying that. Everybody needs a break from church and a break from things once in a while. That's fine. I understand. But the consistent pattern of your life is this. Well, we just don't come on Sunday night because we go on Wednesday and Sunday mornings. Wait a minute. Our Sunday night service is a blessing. It is. You're missing out if you don't show up. Well, I get enough. You get enough. You get enough. What does get enough mean? I got enough of you is what that means. That's exactly what it means. I got enough of you, Pastor. Listen. The Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourself together. That means when the church doors open, we should be there. Now, I'm being funny with you, but you need to look at what you're doing. You tell me one thing in this life that is consistently more important than the living Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing. But I just don't understand gladness. David said, okay, I've got exuberant joy to go to church. The first church, they had exuberant joy. So why do we not have exuberant joy? I found in Acts chapter 2, verses 41 to 47, about 9 reasons you should have exuberant joy for you to be glad to go to church. And I want to give them to you. Look, if you would, at chapter 2, verse number 41. The Bible says, then they that gladly received his word. What word? Look at verse 38. See the second word of verse 38? Peter is preaching to them. A gospel message. Peter is preaching to them how to be saved. And at the end of this message, 3,000 folks come to faith in Christ and come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It has always been, it shall be now, and it should be forevermore, that one of the reasons I'm glad to go to church is because that's where the gospel is preached. How many of you folks got saved because you heard the gospel preached in a church? Look around. We get to go and we get to hear the gospel. Sometimes people accuse me of only preaching on the gospel. Pastor, all you do is preach the gospel. Let me ask you a question. What other message is there to preach? I kind of agree with the songwriter that said, I love to hear the old story. I love to hear that I was lost and without hope and condemned. I love to hear what Jesus did for me. I love to begin to be reminded of that, of the righteousness I have in him. I love to come to church and hear somebody preach about the sacrifice and the love of God. I love to hear about the saving grace of God. I love to hear the gospel preached. I'm glad to go to church. Somebody preach the gospel. We have a lady in our church. She's from Colombia. She's not here today. She's Viviana Rodriguez's mother, Omongi. I don't know if I said her name right, but I got real close. Ruben was giving me fanatical Spanish help before the service. He's not a very good teacher. He's translating right now, so I'm interested what he's saying in your earpiece on right now. She grew up in Colombia Catholic. Did you know? I didn't know this. Did you know that there actually exists a Catholic Bible that on the cover says, this book should only be read by the priest? I did not know that existed. But she can take her Bible and the cover says, only the priest can read this Bible. So her whole life, She thought that she got saved the way the Catholic Church taught salvation. By doing good deeds, by praying, by worshiping Mary, by doing all this stuff. And she had never opened up her own Bible because she was terrified to do anything that would cause damage to that. Because only the priest opens up the Bible. Well, she comes to our church and she begins to sit. And she began to sit there comfortably thinking she was saved. And she doesn't even speak our language. And she got an earpiece and she began to hear the Bible being preached. We gave her a Bible. She opened up her own Bible. Last week, she came and she stood Friday in Senior Saints. And she said, for the first time in my life, I have heard a clear gospel presentation. And I want you to know on Tuesday, I received Jesus as my Savior. Listen, praise God we have a church that preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm glad to go hear the gospel preached. Look at verse number 41. Then they gladly received his word, were baptized. They were baptized. And if you look at verse number 42, it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. So they were glad to go to church because the gospel was preached there, but also the Bible was taught there. The Bible was taught there. I mean, they were instructed upon the Word of God. They were instructed on how to live their life. They were instructed what to do in times of tragedy, what to do in times of joy. They were instructed on how to be godly men, how to be godly women, how to be godly dads, how to be godly mother, how to be godly children, how to be good businessmen, how to go by faith. They were instructed on how to organize their home. They were instructed on what to do that brings the blessing of God and what to stay away from. Paul told Timothy, preach the word, be in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and those things with the word of God. And listen, I'm glad to go to church where somebody teaches me how to live according to the word of God. Where would you be without the instruction of this book? I mean, we got people, and God bless them, I'm not angry at them, but man, we got millions of people all over our community that whether through ignorance or through outright just rejection, have no thought for God. They didn't come to church today. They're just living their lives. But they don't know that they're not living lives on a solid foundation. They don't know the joy of knowing the truth. They don't know how to stand by faith. They don't know how to trust the Lord with prayer. They don't know how to take that word of God and instruct their children. But you and I, we get to come to church and have the Bible taught to us. That's glad, good, exuberant joy. Bible teaching. By the way, that's what we do in our Sunday school. We teach the Bible. That's what we do in our pulpit. We teach the Bible. That's what we do on Sunday night. We teach the Bible. That's what we do on Wednesday night. You will never come to a service and a preacher stand behind this desk and not open this book. Now, I may not always be your pastor. You don't know God's will. I don't know God's will. Beverly may kill me tomorrow and my life may be over. God may move me. I don't know. I hope not, but he might. But I tell you this. You get a man, and it will be a man, no woman. Don't let a woman come in here and preach. She can teach, but she can't preach and pastor. You let a man stand right here, and he says, Plantation Baptist Church, I don't want you to open your Bibles today. I just want you to listen to me. You run that man out of here as fast as you can run him out. Because the only thing worth saying behind this desk is the oracle of this book. And you are glad, and I'm glad I come to a church where the gospel is preached, where the Bible is taught. I have hope and understanding and knowledge and security in those things. How many are blessed because you have your life based upon the oracles of the Word of God? Say amen. Amen. Where'd you learn that from? You learned it from church. Number three. Look, if you would, at verse number 41. Then they that gladly received his word, that was salvation, the gospel, were baptized. And the same day there were, what's that word? Added. I'm glad I get to go to church where I'm a member. I'm a member. Amazes me how people don't think church membership is in the Bible. Listen, American Express got their phrase from the Bible. Membership has its privileges. And the Bible is a church membership book. I am glad I am a member of a local body of called out believers. Acts 2:41 says they were added to the church. 1 Corinthians 12 links membership. Well, Pastor, when we got saved, we're just members of the body of Christ as the church. Yes, but Paul said you're members in particular. And when Paul talks about the body being joined with many members, he's talking to a local New Testament church. Membership brings with it the authority of God's word. It brings with it accountability, discipline, serving. It brings with it a union. It brings with it an acknowledgement. I believe that the Bible says that everybody ought to be a member of a Bible-believing church. People don't believe that. I mean, I get asked about that more than I get asked about anything. I make you a deal. If you don't believe me, try this. Ask God. Ask God. See, if the Bible is for membership, then the Spirit of God is for membership. And if you honestly ask God, God, should I be a member of this church of Bible? Then the Spirit of God's going to tell you yes. Ask Him. Ask Him honestly. He's going to do it. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm part of the body. Aren't you glad you're part of the body? Say amen. Membership. Not just an exclusion, not an appendage. I'm a member. Number four. I'm glad I get to go to a church where the gospel is preached. I'm glad for Bible teaching. I'm glad for membership. And look, if you would, at 42, verse number, or in the middle of that, it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, and say that word, fellowship. Fellowship. Listen, I'm glad I go to a church where I can have good Christian fellowship. I don't know about you, but I'm glad for Christian friends. If you're glad for Christian friends, say amen. You should be involved and you need fellowship. That's why we do dinners. That's why we do class activities. That's why we try to do things to encourage. The Bible says iron sharpeneth iron. I believe that I can prove to you that the Baptist church, some people ask me, Pastor, where did the Baptist church originate? I believe you can trace it all the way back to the first church. I bet I can give you a Bible on it. Look right here if you would, please. Look in verse number 40. Let's see. Verse number 46. The Bible says, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house did what? Eat. Brother, they are Baptists. They eat. They ain't vegetarian Baptist either. They eat meat with gladness. Man, we were glad Sunday night. That hallway was filled with food. That lobby was filled with food. We ate like unsaved people. No, just kidding about that. You need fellowship. So you need to make yourself available to fellowship. Nobody in that church is friendly to me, Pastor. I've tried. The Bible says, if you're going to have friends in Proverbs chapter 18, you must do what? Show yourself friendly. So when's the last time you invited somebody to your house? When's the last time you made kind of the first initiation to show yourself friendly? If you feel like an odd man out in our church, it's probably because you're the odd man. Yeah. We need fellowship. I don't go to those kind of things. Why? You should. Let me show you why we can fellowship. Go to Acts chapter 4. Look at verse number 32. The Bible says, and the multitude of them that believed, these were more that got saved, were of one, say it, class, and of one what? They were of one heart and one soul. I mean, there was unity of heart. There was agreement inside. Listen, we don't have the same heart as the world. If you would rather be with the world than you would your church family, that's probably because you agree with the world. When people get saved, they find this innate and supernatural desire to be with God's people. Why? Because we have one heart and we have one mind. And in a healthy church, and a healthy church member is somebody who understands the importance of fellowship, lifting, not just necessarily eating food, but bearing one another's burdens, praying for one another, encouraging one another. You need that if that's not part. And by the way, the Sunday morning only church guy doesn't get it. He doesn't get it. If you only come on Sunday mornings, you are missing out on the depth of good Christian fellowship. No one, and you think, well, I just go over there to the Plantation Baptist. But if you feel estranged, it's because you only come to one service. You want to be glad. Listen, I'm glad to come on a Sunday night and see my friends at church. I know my friends are dwindling at this moment, I'll tell you that right now, but I'm glad. I miss you. Do you miss me when I'm not here? Shame on you. I miss you. I would rather be with you than anybody. By the way, I need you and you need others. We need each other. Fellowship. I get to go to church and fellowship with people who are for me, who love me, who don't want to take advantage of me, who want to lift me, pray for me. I feel sorry for people that don't have a good church home. I'm glad that I have a church family that I can fellowship with. Look, if you would, at verse number 42. Not only is there glad to go to church because of gospel preaching, Bible teaching, membership, fellowship, but in verse number 42, you see that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread, that would be communion, and in prayers. Look, if you would, at verse number 44. And all that believed were, say that word, together. Okay? So, one of the great things about church is corporate worship. We need corporate worship. We need to be able to come together and congregationally sing. Let me tell you, I don't know about you, but I'm blessed by the congregational singing. I'm blessed by the music. I'm blessed just being in the room together. I'm blessed with this thought of unity and this thought of oneness and togetherness. And as a church body, which I am a member of, by the way, the Bible says that there's not a single inferior member, that all members are necessary, which means I am necessary to this church. I help complete this church. Without me, not me preacher, me Tom Hunter, the church is incomplete because I'm a member, but I get to come, I get to join with the membership, and we get to have corporate worship and lifting our hands to our holy God. And by the way, it's inspirational, it's powerful, it's rewarding, it's encouraging, and just to be together. By the way, your participation in corporate worship will be directly tied to your participation in private worship. What we're going to do in this church is something I think is going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to change my seat. I'm going to start sitting up here. In every service, I'm going to bring one of you up here with me. I'm going to have you stand right here. And I'm just going to say, watch their faces. It's great. It's great fun. Singing. I'll stand up and I'll say something about, hey, listen, these two people and their precious unborn baby were almost killed. We want to corporately praise God and worship Him. Ooh. Am I the only other one that should bother, or should that bother all of us? But see, your corporate worship is tied to your private worship. And you will never corporately worship if you don't privately worship. And I'm the preacher. Now, I love you. I'm your pastor. But I watch your face. I watch what you do. One of the great blessings of church is to come and say, we gather together to worship our God. Good. Gospel preaching, Bible teaching, membership, fellowship, corporate worship. By the way, if you look at verse number 47, praising God, that was a corporate thing. And then I'll finish with this one. Look, if you would, at verse number 43. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. Wonders and signs would be the word miracles. You know, in the beginning, in the first church, Miracles were happening everywhere. You know one reason I'm glad to go to church? Because I still believe that God does miracles today. And that does my soul good to come in here on a Wednesday night and to hear people stand up and say, I want to tell you the miracle God did in my life. I want to give him praise for what he did. And I watch your life and you watch mine and we watch others and we see the miracle hand of God. And he just reveals himself so precious and so tender. And so you might stand up and give this great praise. And you know what I do? I think in my heart, oh God, if you could do it for them, you can do it for me. God, if you could touch their kid, you can touch my kid. If you can save their lost one, you can save mine. You can meet their need. You can meet mine. And your testimony of the miracle power of God encourages me so great. Could you imagine going to a place where God didn't move? I pray constantly. God, may I have your power. May the Spirit of God move in our services. I don't want to just come and have a congregation. I want to come and have a church meeting where God moves. Aren't you glad you go to a church where miracles are being done?
Amen.
For $20, I'll do one for you. Aren't you glad you don't have to pay me to do miracles? Aren't you glad you don't have to pay your preacher to pray for you? Aren't you glad you don't have to sow a seed with me so you can earn my favor? Let me tell you something. A pastor is an under-shepherd, and he loves his sheep. Yeah, I get a paycheck for being a pastor. But no pastor ought to ever be paid to bless his people. That ought to come from his heart. Don't you agree with that? I agree with that. Preaching to myself a little bit there. Preaching to others. Hear and see miracles. I'm glad I get to go to church, man. I can't wait to come back tonight. We got a young man going to stand up here and tell you about what God's done in his life. Changed his whole thought process. Called him. I can't wait to hear about that. You know why? Because I got kids. And you know what I want my kids to do? I want them to serve the Lord. I want them to do whatever God calls them to do. And I want them to see other people stand right here and say, hey, it was hard, but I chose to serve the Lord. Don't you want that for your kid? I'm glad I come to a place where the gospel is preached. People can get saved. Hear a clear presentation of the gospel. Bible was taught so I know how to be a better man, a better husband, a better father. How I know how to walk with God. Well, I'm a member. I'm part of the body. I get to fellowship. I get to corporately worship. And I get to hear and see the miracle hand of God. Wow. That's pretty good. Amen?
Amen.
Can I share something personal with you and kind of off the record? Is the pastor allowed to be off the record? I could turn my microphone off. I do have a responsibility to show up and be what a pastor ought to be. I know that. I know that. And I believe me, it terrifies me to get up here and preach every Sunday. Not that I'm afraid of you. I'm afraid of not doing what God wants me to do. I beg God for his power. So I'll be real personal with you. During the week when I get tempted, and I'm just like any man in here, I get tempted in my flesh. The Lord comes to my mind. My wife comes to my mind. And so do you. And I think, God, I cannot stand up and preach publicly to these people if I'm not something privately. I understand the responsibility that comes with doing this. But sometimes you work me pretty hard. What do you mean by that, Pastor? I found this. Let's take Sunday night, for example. Normal Sunday night, normal crowd. Add food, you come out of the woodwork. Preach a message on a certain topic. Yeah. So I go back and I think, okay, is it me, God? Am I not prepared right? Am I not giving them what they need? Because I feel like if the service meets a certain expectation, you're going to come. But I got news for you. Take my pastor jacket off. I'll never meet your expectation. You can't serve God and come to church for me. You got to do it for yourself. For yourself. You got to see it as important. You got to want it. You got to, as the deer panteth for the water, so my heart panteth after thee, God. I'm wringing wet. I'll never meet that expectation. So I stopped trying. You know what I do now? I say, now, God, I'm going to preach here, but you got to bring who you want to bring. I'll tell you this. I'm glad I get to go to church. I'm glad. I wouldn't trade it for anything in my life. And I'm glad to be your pastor. But your pastor needs to look you in the eye and say, forsake not the assembling of yourselves. Listen, the whole world is headed a different direction. We need the Lord, we need this book, and we need each other. Amen. Amen. Let's have our prayer. Let's go home and eat our lunch.